as we finish this series, allowing God to rewrite our story, some things that we've been talking about throughout this series, just to remind you, for those who haven't been with us in this, to let you know what we've been talking about. And the first thing is that we realize that every single one of us have a past, and that past is filled full of some good, some bad, and some ugly. So we recognize that as being life. That's what we deal with, but that is our past. And the past cannot be changed. That's one of the principles I want you to remember, take away from this. You cannot go back and undo the past. It is over with. Okay? So keep that in mind. Because the good and the bad and the ugly that you have experienced in your life, that is your story. Okay? Now, another principle that we focused on throughout this is this little idea right here. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. In other words, if you've had bad things that have been going on in your life or some ugly things going on, you need to change some things. Okay? Maybe you might look at it and say, well, but it's bad stuff and ugly stuff that other people are doing to me. Well, then find other people to hang around with. Okay? If you keep hanging around those same people, guess what you're going to get? The same thing you've always gotten from them. So find new friends, okay? But even, you know, if there's things that you have been doing that are bad and ugly, stop doing them, okay? Because if you keep on doing them, you're going to get the same results. So that's what the idea is here. We need to do something different in our lives. Because if you don't do anything different, then your past will be your future. Nothing is really going to change at all. We oftentimes, especially, you know, we're dealing with a lot of bad stuff, ugly stuff in our lives, we tend to look back at the good old times, okay, the good old days, and we want to live in those good old days. When we have those bad things going on, we don't want that, but we tend to allow Satan, we talked about, how Satan will hold us to that past a lot of times. He wants to keep us in bondage to the past, the bad things we have done, the sin in our lives, maybe even the bad things that we carry guilt over that we have done or that others have done to us. Satan wants to hold us in the past because he knows if he does that, then we don't have much of a future. Okay? But God does not want us to live in the past. What we want to do is to allow God to rewrite our story. In other words, what is the end of our life going to really say about us? This morning in our lesson, going to be a little bit different than the previous lessons we've done here, because most of the lessons we've done so far in this series have been about folks who basically were involved in bad and ugly stuff in their lives. Okay? Well, this morning, we're going to talk about a man who went away sad, but really, he was experiencing a lot of good in his life. Okay? So let's talk about the good life. Okay? Got a good life going on. Check that off. Good life, usually, you know, hey, life is grand, life is good. Perhaps maybe some luxury going on in there. Just really enjoying life and what it's all about. Okay? How about this phrase right here? How many of you ever heard of this phrase? Living high on the hog. You know where that phrase comes from? It's an old English phrase that basically talks about where the best cuts of meat come on the hog. And the best cuts of meat come from that top loin up there high on the back. Okay? And basically, those folks who were wealthy and living in luxury, living the good life, they could afford those prime cuts of meat, whereas the poor folks basically ate the belly stuff. Okay? And that's really where that phrase comes from, living high on the hog, because you could afford to eat the good quality, the best, off of the high part of the pig. Well, let's talk about the rich young ruler. He was one who definitely was, as we would say, living high on the hog. Okay? He had the good life going on. In verse 22 of our text, it tells us here that he had great wealth. Now, what does that really mean in terms of, you know, the people of his day? All right? Well, he was from the upper class, without a doubt. He would have stood out in the crowd, and everybody would have known that this guy had means. He had money. He had wealth. Okay? Whereas most of the folks, the common people of his day, were typically very poor. So no question that this guy was living very well. He had a good life in check. Feeling good about himself, feeling good about what he had, feeling good about who he was, and perhaps what he had accomplished in life. He definitely found the key to unlocking the door to the good life. How about you? Now, maybe you are not really, really wealthy. But you look at your life and you look at what's going on around you, you say, well, you know, my life really is pretty good. Okay? I have three meals a day. I have more than what I need. I got a nice warm house to live in. Maybe I don't have the brightest, shiniest, brand new car every year, but hey, I got good transportation, gets me to and from. You know, all of those things that we think about may not necessarily be wealthy, but life is good. Do you agree with that? Yeah, life is pretty good to us. So, you know, we look at our life and we can be fairly satisfied with that. How about religion? Put a check mark next to religion. This man comes to Jesus. And he says to him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus responded to him by saying to him, you know what the commandments are. And we've talked about this before, you know, the man kind of, you know, goes a little bit to Jesus. He says, well, which ones? As if there are some commandments that you don't really have to keep. You know, and others that you do, he wants to know, which ones do I really have to keep? And Jesus, going along with it, kind of gives him a list of things. And this man then responds to Jesus by saying, all of these things I have kept since I was a boy. Now, most likely referring to around the age of 12, 13 years old, when most Jewish boys would then accept the responsibility for their own faith and so forth. So that's probably what he was referring to. Ever since I was around that age, I kept the commandments. So feeling pretty good about himself. So as a matter of external conformity, in other words, following the rules, he was doing pretty good. So he had religion checked off. So good life, religion, everything's okay there. He says to Jesus, basically, is that all? I've got all that covered. Put a check next to my name. Jesus told a parable one time about a Pharisee and a tax collector that both went into the temple to pray. And it's kind of, I think, the attitude of the Pharisee like this rich young ruler. Look at what he says. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. And notice some things that he credits to himself. I fast twice a week. I give a tithe of all that I get. And isn't that kind of like this rich young ruler? Tell me the rules, Jesus, that I need to keep. Just the really important ones. And check that. Yeah, I've done all those things. So yeah, I've got religion down pat. No worries there. So I've got a good life, physical-wise. Life is good. I've got religion down pat. How about you? If you look at your life religiously, would you be satisfied just to put a check next to your name and say, yeah, I've got that down pretty good? I mean, after all, I go to church on every Sunday, and I tithe, and I pray, and I read my Bible every day. Check. Life is good. I got religion down, following the rules, making sure that I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to do. So religion is good. Apostle Paul warns us, we get the feeling that way. Be careful. If you think that you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. In other words, it's real easy for us to kind of start feeling real good about who we are religiously, thinking we've got it all together, when in actuality, we don't. Now, is it really important for us to go to church every Sunday? Apparently not. Let me give you another chance at that. Is it really important for us to go to church every Sunday?
Yes.
Why? Well, first of all, because God tells us to, right? But secondly, because we get that great fellowship and encouragement from one another, and that we've talked about before, we get to come together on the first day of every week and do what?
Worship.
To worship God. Okay? So yes, it's important for us to go to church every Sunday. Is it important for us to tithe? Yes. Why? Because God told us to, right? Okay? He's given us those commandments. All right? But also because, you know, the church has things that God calls upon us to do. We need to do the work of the Lord, and so we need to have funds to do that with. How about praying? Is that vitally important for us to do?
Absolutely.
And of course, reading our Bibles. Yeah. So all of those things are important. All those things are necessary for us to do. We need to make sure that we have the right attitude about doing all of those things. Okay? Because if you just go to church because it's Sunday, I'm supposed to go to church, you check that off on your list, there's a problem there. If you just tithe, you give every week, but you do it grudgingly, then there's a problem. If you pray, but your heart's really not in it, you're praying because, you know, you're supposed to pray, or you read your Bible even every day, but your heart's not in it, all you're doing is reading because that's the reading for the day, then there's a problem. So we need to be careful, in other words, that we don't think we've got it all together because we're checking off all the boxes when there are things that are missing in reality. So we need to heed this warning from Paul. And finally, let's talk about a sad departure. We have a good life, we got religion all in check. But there's a sad departure in this story. Okay? Jesus says to the man, there's one thing you still lack. You got a good life, you got religion down, you're doing all the religious things, but you still lack one thing. In other words, that one thing that will keep you from entering the kingdom. After all, wasn't that his question? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said one thing. Go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. That's what Jesus told him he still lacked. He's doing that. You just kind of imagine this man's response initially when Jesus tells him that. Are you serious? You want me to sell everything that I have and give the money to the poor? You see, I think this man thought that his good deeds were going to outweigh everything else in his life, but the reality is Jesus was saying, wait a minute, you've got a lot of good stuff going on in your life, but there's still one thing that you lack, and that is outweighing everything else that you've got going for you. That one thing. You see, his wealth was this man's spiritual problem. He had allowed his wealth to stand between he and the Lord. He wasn't willing to give that up. Now, in this story, it's all about the man's wealth. But that may not necessarily be what it's about for you. He kept back that part of his life, his wealth, from Jesus. Okay? But let's consider this parable. The parable of the sower that Jesus tells talks about four different kinds of soil. And this soil that had the thorns in it, look at what he says. The worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things. Notice the deceitfulness of wealth. How deceiving it can be. But I want to suggest to you that it's not just the wealth. Because our one thing can be deceiving if we allow it to. Whatever our one thing might be. Notice that the text here tells us that the man, at this point, his face fell. What does that mean? Well, I think what it's really telling us is that it was very obvious by the look on his face how disappointed he was at Jesus' answer. You ever look at somebody as you're talking to them, and maybe you have to confront them about something, and you just notice the obvious change in the expression on their face? Well, that's what's happening here. And it's so much so that this is one of the things that was included in this story. In other words, it wasn't just kind of a thing that happened, and it was significant. So much so that it needed to be included in the story. In other words, what Jesus was telling them really cut him to the heart. It affected him in a great way. Unfortunately, not enough, though, because he went away sorrowful. Basically, what's happening here is that this man was unwilling to allow Jesus to rewrite his story. That's what's taking place here. He came to Jesus and said, look, what do I need to do to make sure that I'm going to go to heaven? That's in essence what his question was all about. And when Jesus told him, when Jesus confronted him with what was going on in his life, even though he had a lot of good stuff happening, he went away sad. Because Jesus was pointing out one thing that needed to change in his life. One thing that needed to be rewritten about his life. And he was not willing to allow Jesus to do that. So then the end of his story would be the same as his past. Here's a question for you to think about. What does a rich young ruler and I have in common? Got a good life? Got religion all down pat? Remember, you and I have got to allow Jesus to rewrite our story. And that is an ongoing thing. No matter how good your life is or has been, no matter how bad or ugly your life is or has been, the issue that we've been talking about throughout this series of lessons is every single one of us has got to allow God to rewrite our story. And that's on a regular basis. I kind of look at it as that what he's doing is writing it a chapter at a time. Okay? And there's some chapters in my life, I don't know about yours, there are some chapters in my life that are really good. There are some chapters that haven't been very good. Those are chapters I don't like to go back and read, and I don't want anybody else reading those chapters either. But as God is rewriting my story, I have to allow Him to take whatever is going on in my life and make Him allow Him to make me what He wants me to be. And that leads us into this next series of lessons that we're going to be talking about. Okay? To allow God to rewrite our story and to write it and to mold us and make us into what He wants us to be for His purpose in our life. And the reality of it is that no matter what has gone on, no matter what the rest of the earlier chapters of your life say, good, bad, or ugly, your story is still in draft mode. In other words, it is still being written. The final version has not been finished yet. And it won't be until you die. And the issue is all about, what is it finally going to say about you? Realizing that God can rewrite your story whenever you want Him to do that. But we have to understand, we can be just like this rich young ruler and walk away sad because we're not willing to allow God to rewrite our story. To me, that would be the saddest thing of all. So, let me ask you this question. What would keep you from allowing Jesus to rewrite your story? In other words, what is your one thing? Is there something in your life that Jesus would say to you, you need to stop this? You need to give this up? That perhaps you haven't been willing to do so. That maybe you look at your life and say, hey, life is good. And maybe you look at your religion and you go, hey, I got all that together. I'm doing all the things I need to be doing. But yet Jesus would say, but you still have this one thing that you need to submit to me on in your life. And thus far you have refused to do so. Is there that one thing in your life? As we finish this series of lessons and we get ready to go into a new year, which is an opportunity to start all over again, my challenge to every one of you, as I challenge myself, to allow God to rewrite your story. To take you from wherever you are right now to where He wants you to be. You might need some help to do that, some encouragement. Maybe you're afraid. I don't know. I don't know what would keep you from allowing God to rewrite your story. But I'm here to tell you this morning that you can begin doing that right now. If you've not given your life to Christ, you need to understand that your story right now, as it stands, is that you are separated from God, and if you don't do anything different, you will die that way, and you will be condemned for eternity. That's your story. But the great news is that if you're willing to allow Him to rewrite your story, then right now this morning, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, call upon Him as Lord. And repent of that sin that is separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. We've got warm water ready for you this morning. All you got to do is come up and let me know what you want to do. You're already a child of God, and maybe there's that one thing that is standing between you and the Lord. Get rid of it this morning. let him start rewriting your story. The absolute worst thing that you could do is to walk out of here this morning sad, like the rich young ruler. I don't want anybody to do that. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there, and I'll be right up front here to receive anyone that would like to come up. Tom has a song that he's chosen. We're going to use as an invitation song. Let's stand together and sing.